ashes out of that ugly scar. It makes everything beautiful this time.
God is awesome in this place.
Our faith is built each time we hear the Word of God. We hope you'll enjoy this life-changing message from Countryside Christian Center. When you finish, feel free to share this tape with others. Our church address is 1850 McMullen Booth Road, Clearwater, Florida, 33759. You can reach us by calling 727-799-1618 or log on to www.countrysidechristiancenter.org.
You have your Bibles? Father, we thank you for your word. It's truth. Everything that pertains to life, Lord, you've given to us. We thank you for your promises. We thank you, Lord, for wisdom. We thank you, you are that door, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And I pray by your anointing today, you'd speak to us, to open our eyes, open our hearts, Lord, as we follow you. That we would continue just to yield and surrender our lives to you, that we might know all that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 7:13-14, you just heard, enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many that are on that road. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads into life, and there are few that are on that road. As you know, I've been sharing a whole group of series called Journey to Victorious Living. I tell you, it's the narrow road that leads to that journey of victorious living. And the first series I've been sharing is on the will of God. Part one was Know God, Know His Will. I talked about before we're really going to know God's will, we have to know Him in a loving relationship, to trust Him, that faith works by love. When we really come to know God's love for us and trust Him, we open our heart to let Him take charge, and then we're going to seek Him, not our own way, as we seek the Lord and seek His will. Part two, I said the greatest obstacle to finding God's will, that's surrender, yieldedness, that we don't want to let go. And it's the foundation of the whole kingdom. It's His lordship. It's yielding to His lordship and rule in every area of our life. That's what it's all about. That's why we confess Jesus Christ as the Lord. So he's Lord of all, or He's not Lord at all. And so if we don't surrender to Him, we are never going to know His will. How can we ever know God's will and victory if we won't yield control to the Lord? Listen to the scripture, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 24. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? I want to read that to you again. I mean, that's profound, man. That'll pierce through if you let it. Proverbs 20, verse 24. Man's goings are of the Lord. He's got the plan. How can a man then understand his own way? Well, today I want to share part three on the will of God. My message is called, I Want to Know God's Will Now. Now. You know, we live in a now generation. I want it now or sooner. I want it yesterday. So we got all this stuff going on. You know, it's like you push the button, you turn the dial, you plug it in, you make a phone call, and then you don't want to have to mess around, you know, with the computer, or you know, you don't want to put you on hold. We want it now. You know, I want to talk to someone. We got drive-through banks. We have drive-through cleaners. We have drive-through convenience stores. We have drive-through food chains. You know, even we say, well, I'm tired of driving around. I just want to get it online. Just, you know, get it done. Man, this computer is slow. Let's get this thing going, you know. You know, or we go somewhere and then we're upset. You know, this line's just not moving to get up here to this clerk so I can charge this stuff and buy it now, you know. You go to a restaurant and you ain't complaining. I had to wait 10 minutes to get in this restaurant. You could go to that restaurant over there. There's no line there. Because I tell you what the food's going to taste like. You know, if there's no line, you can guess what it's going to taste like. But again, then you complain that service is slow. And it took so long to get your food. And complaining. And traffic, man, that's something, isn't it? You know, I can't believe this is so slow. And how long is this light anyway? Man, I've been waiting here for, you know, a minute. Come on, buddy, get going. What's wrong with you? You can turn right on red. Just go. What are you doing? Here's one, isn't it? You know, you're going to make a left-hand turn, and the person in front of you doesn't pull out in the intersection. They say back here, and you say, come on, lady, get pull out there. We're going to make this light. How do you think I got all day? Where'd you get your driver's license? See your robot? Come on, get out there. You know, we want it all now. We want it now. Whatever it is, I need it. I want it. Man, let's buy it. I want to get it right now. We just bought all that stuff, remember? That's okay. You know, charge it. Let's do it. I want it now. We want instant gratification. We want instant answers, instant service. You know, that can happen with us and God, too. And you know, you get in a hurry with God, you're going to get in trouble. You know, sometimes, you know, it's like, Lord, yeah, I just want to do whatever you want. I really yield my heart. Just, you know, just say yes, say no. You know, I want to hear yes, but if you say no, you know, I'll do it, whatever you want, Lord. So just, you know, answer me, God. And he says, well, I just want you to wait. Wait. Give me a yes or no, not this wait stuff, Lord. Come on. Wait. I don't have time to wait. You know, I want this right now. You know, so, you know, we don't like to wait. I also want you to know when God says wait, that doesn't mean no. So when we don't wait, let's start there. We get out of God's will. It's his plan. You know, we've got to do it his way, with his timing. Because when you get ahead of God, it can be really disastrous for your life. Or when you get behind and you don't obey God, it can be really disastrous for your life. You know, living in God's will, it's the only way. It's the only way to be fulfilled. It's the only way to be happy. It is the only way to be successful in life. I'm talking about lasting, true success, not the world's success. It's the only way to please God. It's the only way to know victory in your life and to know God's blessings. And it's the only way to divert some of those real disasters that are going to come on your life by your impatience. Now, we all are going to face trouble. But there's a difference between the trouble that God allows to come to you when you're in his will and the trouble that comes to you because of your own disobedience, I'm telling you. Because God's going to use all this, you know, to bring maturity to you. And in the long run, it's going to really be a blessing to you that God's doing a work in your life. So whether it's in small things, whether it's in large things, when we make wrong choices, it's going to have consequences. You know, I was a brand new Christian, and I think it probably was in 1968 or 69. You know, it's been a while. I was young. I was 24 years old, and I was still just kind of, you know, catching on to this, you know, Christian walk thing. And I was working then in automotive design, and I remember that I saw this guitar. It was just really cool. Now, you know, now it's like old. It's been around forever. But at the time then, like Ovation guitars were new. Some of you play know what it is. It has a fiberglass back, you know, plastic fiberglass back. And they were different from the other guitars. And it was kind of inspiring because the guy who invented it was supposedly, you know, built helicopters. And, you know, this was like the guitar, you know. And so I had two guitars already. And I thought, man, I don't want to get one of those. And so I said, you know, I think I'll just miss work today. Just go buy that guitar. And, you know, it's like you get that, even as a new Christian, you get that impulse, you know, inside or impulsiveness, but the Spirit of God is saying, no, bad plan. And don't do that. Are you sick? No. You know, then you're going to miss work? Yeah. To do what? Go buy a guitar. And you got two already. Yeah. Sounds like a plan. So what did I do? In my wisdom and great maturity as a new Christian, I didn't go to work. I went out and bought the guitar. I had this great Guild classical guitar along with the other men. And I don't know if you know about guitars. Guild really makes a nice guitar. And this was really sweet. And so, yeah, I traded it in and bought this guitar. And there's nothing against Ovation guitars, but that was the worst guitar I ever bought in my life. I mean, it's worse because I was out of the will of God. I mean, you know, the thing wouldn't stay in tune, man. It rattled. You know, I broke the neck. The whole neck broke off. you know, what's the Lord say? Yeah. And so, why? And then I realized that the guitar I had, this Guild, man, it was so nice. I even think today, man, I wish I had that thing back. You know, but you know, we always want more. You know, it's just some impulsiveness. You know, it never has a happy ending. In any situation, when we try to manipulate or push it, make it happen, we're impulsive, and there's going to be problems ahead. You know, when I was just a kid, you know, I used to love to make, like, model cars. You know, I mean, I ended up in automotive design, but, you know, I didn't just put the thing together. You know, I had to customize them and chop them and channel them and, you know, put different parts on from different cars and make them cool and custom paint jobs. I had cloth upholstery in them, but I always get impatient. You know, I either wait, the paint was still wet when I was trying to put it together and I mess them up, or that it would glue it and the glue wouldn't be dry when I try to, you know. It's kind of like that's what happens with us. You know, that the glue's not dry yet, that God's trying to put it together. And we got to see what happens, you know, and then we mess it up. You know, even nature shows us that you've got to be patient. Impatience doesn't pay off. You know, when you pick fruit that's not ripe yet, it's sour. Sour. Well, that's what happens in our life. There's things that turn sour when you don't wait on God. You know, it's a big problem right now with finances in our lives, because it's this impatience and impulsiveness that drives our economy. I mean, that's what they play on. You could have bigger, better, faster, shinier, newer, you know, and you were perfectly satisfied until you saw that. I loved this, but then, oh man, gotta have one of those. You know, man, how do you get it? Charge it. You know, and so pretty soon it's money that's driving our life and our own lust and impulses, and everything's upside down instead of waiting on God. And so we get in a mess because we're impatient. It's not that the Lord doesn't want to give us things. He wants us to be blessed. He wants us to prosper. But it's letting Him be the Lord of our lives. He's in control of it. He's in control of it. That we do it His way. You know, and it's true. So what happens? We get all upside down. You know, we make this amount of money here, see? And, you know, so we're making, you know, $30,000 a year. But, you know, we're spending money like we make $50,000 a year. So we got all this debt. And then, so we say, oh, man, you know, if I can make $150,000 a year, oh man, I'd never have any problems. I mean, I'd be on easy street. That would just be so awesome. And then people end up making $150,000. And what do? Then they're living off of $250,000 worth, you know, stuff, and they're still in debt, and they still got all these problems. And, you know, they make $700,000 and they still got debt, and it's all upside down. Why? Because God's not in control, and they're always impatient and doing things instead of listening on God and having that control. Or even when they seem to have enough, what do? They consume it. They collect it. It's never enough. I got this collection, but you can have more and more and more and more. And you know, collections never satisfy you, ever, do they? Only God's will satisfies to do it the Lord's way and have a control. So the problem isn't that we don't have plenty. The problem is, you know, we've encumbered it because we're not listening to God, letting Him have His way. And it's true in every way. You know, I wish I could say, you know, I only made a mistake with the guitar, you know, because we make other mistakes in our lives, and that it affects our lives. So you'd think we'd be learning by the mistakes, but somehow, you know, we just do it over and over again. When we don't wait, number two, we delay His blessings or miss completely His plan and His blessings. You know, when we're just impulsive and we're not praying and asking God what He really wants, and, you know, we get ahead of God. Instead of waiting, we either do it ignorantly because we never prayed to ask Him. We just assume and go do it without any instructions. Or we do it knowingly, like I did. I knew what was right when I bought that guitar. But, you know, or we do that. And then, you know, we end up missing what God had. We get in wrong relationships. You know, either because of wrong motives or just the wrong person. They were nice. They just weren't for us. They weren't what God had. Or we do because of lust, or, you know, get the wrong job. And, you know, we're not comfortable there, but, you know, man, money's pretty good. But we're having to compromise, and it's kind of like we get deeper because we're now in bondage. You know, we just can't let go to walk in God's will. It's got us. And then it starts bringing these consequences, you know, in our lives. And we end up missing God's plan and missing the blessings and what he really had. I thought of Saul, not Apostle Paul, but King Saul. And Samuel had anointed him, and you know, he really had God's blessing on his life. It could have been a whole different end of the story. But there was a time where he told him to wait. The prophet told Saul to wait. He was getting ready to go in battle. He became impatient. The men were getting impatient. They were starting to be scattered a little bit. And so he went himself, King Saul, and did what God hadn't called him to do, and made burnt offerings and sacrifice that he trespassed the line. That wasn't what the king does. And just right after that, the prophet came. I mean, just feet away, just a couple minutes. And then the prophet came on the scene. Somebody owes $50 to the building fund. What is it? How much is it? 25. Oh, okay. All right. If it rings twice, it's $50. No, it's not. All right. I heard that phone. $25 to the building fund. Amen. And so he didn't wait on the Lord. And then he shows up. Samuel comes and said, Saul, you know, you've done foolishly. You haven't kept my commandment. You know, you didn't listen to what God said. For now, the Lord would have established your kingdom upon Israel forever. But now your kingdom is not to continue. Because the Lord sent a man after his own heart. The Lord commanded him to be captain over his people because you have not kept that which the Lord commanded him. Man, I mean, not waiting on God and impatience cost him the whole kingdom. And that the same kind of thing can happen in our lives. There's some choices, you know, missing the guitar, that's one thing, but you know, missing the big plan for your life, that's something else. And there's decisions that we make that they're very difficult to reverse. When we don't wait, also wrong decisions can cost us dearly. Relationships, plans, finances. We saw this wide road up here. You know what? When you first go down that wide road, you know, a lot of times it can bring, you know, promotion and increase and these possessions and success and all this stuff's happening, you know, for a while. And then, you know, you start paying the price. It's going to cost you eventually. It is the narrow road. It's that narrow gate, that narrow way, walking in God's will. It takes a little longer, but the blessings last. And that things begin to happen in your life. Remember what Israel, I'm talking about consequences that come when we miss God, that we're not waiting on God. You know, God delivered them from Egypt and destroyed the Egyptians. We remember all the miracles and the splitting of the sea. And they come up and he says, there it is. There's the promised land, the land of milk and honey. And he says, oh man, there's giants there. You know, our God can never defeat those giants. I mean, he just destroyed the whole Egyptian army. You know, just brought them out of this bondage. He fed them supernaturally. He leads them, and then they're not believing God. And so what, they chose to go their own way and not go the road that God had for them. What happened? They all perished in the wilderness, except for Caleb and Joshua, who believed God. So choices mean everything. You know, that we can enter into our own wilderness. Well, I'm 35 years old, and man, I mean, I know this guy's not everything, you know, and I think he's a Christian. I'm not really sure, but man, and if I don't get married now, I'm never going to get married. I'm going to be single forever, you know. And because of fear or loneliness, you know, we enter into something God never had for us. We didn't have peace. And you know, your friends can't tell you anything. You're not listening. And we enter into this wilderness. And that when we make these wrong choices, not only do we miss the plan that God has and the blessings, but and unfortunately, you know, that it brings pain and suffering, not only to you and maybe your spouse, but to your children. So you entered into this wrong relationship, and man, later on, what looked like a wide road turned on you. Maybe you've done that. Maybe you entered into some kind of a wilderness thing because of wrong choices you made in areas of your life. You know, sometimes they can be redeemed. Sometimes, you know, you're going to pay a price for them. You know what it says in Proverbs 28:22? I'm talking about not waiting on God, about, you know, the fast lane and not being patient, but being impulsive. Listen to this. Do you know this is in your scripture? Proverbs 28:22 says, he that hasteth to be rich. Talking about impatience, self-will, impulsive. He that hasteth to be rich has an evil eye and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. It's not that God doesn't want to bless us, but he wants to bless us in his way. When God makes you rich and things happen, man, there's no sorrow in it. Hello. You're blessing him. Because God did it. And it's God that caused it to happen. So, I want to tell you a story with a happy ending. There was a girl named Kathy. So there still is a girl named Kathy or Sullivan. Her name's not Sullivan anymore. She's married. But Kathy Sullivan had been here in the church to sing, I don't know, two or three times. And she sang as a young girl on Lawrence Welk show. A real talent. Was a born-again Christian. And then she began to sing in churches and do concerts. And some of you may remember her. And Kathy, when she came here, you know, she was single. She'd never been married. And she just was waiting on the Lord. And she traveled, and I know it was a lonely life. You know, I mean, it may look all glamorous and everything, but, you know, she was lonely, but she just waited on God. And then she was in her late 30s. And she got off the airport in Atlanta where she lived, and when she was getting off the plane, she ran into this guy. It was her high school sweetheart. And she broke up with him back then because he wasn't a Christian. And she hadn't seen him since. But he'd become a born-again Christian, and he never got married. And she never married. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm such a sucker. Every time I hear that, I about cry, you know? I did the other day, I'm telling Naomi, and I'm going, you know what I mean? I mean, God has stories with happy endings, but it was because of her patience. She waited on the Lord. Was it worth the wait? Yeah. She found her prince charming, you know? Now she's got, I don't know, two or three kids, you know. Isn't God usually a little too slow for us? Is God anxious about it? No. Do you believe he really has it all under control? That's where faith comes in, isn't it? We trust him and wait on the Lord. It builds something in our lives. He's not in a hurry. He wants to do it right with lasting results. So I if you think, you know, that God's going too slow for you, I wanted to remind you some people that, you know, they waited on the Lord and then they were rewarded for it. Abraham. God called him out, you know, when he was 75 years old and promised him that he was going to have a son in his old age. And God made a promise to him. Man, what a promise. That seed would become as the sands of the seas and that as the stars of the heavenlies and all the earth would be blessed with that seed and the nations. You know, and he hung in there for a while, but then, you know, he this bright idea came from his wife, you know. I'm not blaming you women, you know, but it was Eve that messed us up. No, I'm just... you know, the men, we made a few, don't we? He listened to her. And so they got this great idea, you know, that just go into Hagar and have this child, you know, the handmaid, and then they have this son. And so, yeah, that sounds good. And they had a son named Ishmael. And we even use that term a lot of times. Man, that was an Ishmael. Boy, that was a bad idea. There was it birthed something that was really horrible. And that, as we know, Ishmael, people became a great nation. And today, because of his disobedience and impatience, because of Abraham, when he did have the promised son and it came in his time, God redeemed it, and he had faith and brought that son. But then Isaac and Ishmael were contentious, and to this day, they still are. And that's what's going on in Palestine. That's what happened between the Palestinians and the other Arabic nations, is they're warring against Israel. It's about their inheritance and their father and what's mine, rightfully mine. I mean, sometimes wrong choices, see, they can have big consequences. Well, God in his grace gave the son. As he waited and brought the promised son, and it's all going to turn out in the end. Can you say amen to that? You know, Joseph, as we know that, God gave him a promise and that he waited 13 years for fulfillment of his dreams. And that his brothers, you know, didn't believe him or envious and sold him out. And he became then a slave. And then the Potiphar's wife you know, falsely accused him. He went to prison. It was 13 years when he dreamed the dream, the things that God showed him, until he was released from that prison. And when he came out, he all that time kept a right heart. He wasn't angry with his brothers. He still loved them. And that he in one day brought him from the dungeon to become a father to the Pharaoh and rule over all of Egypt and control everything in Egypt, and to make a way for his family to preserve them in time of famine. And as he forgave his brothers, 13 years though he waited, 13 years he patiently waited with a right heart for that to happen. 13 years in adverse circumstances, and not one time did he complain. Remember Noah. God told him he was going to bring destruction on the earth because of the sin of the earth. And he's going to bring a flood. It was going to rain. He didn't even know what rain was. It never even rained. That there'd just been a mist before that that watered the earth. That took some faith. And he began to build this ark out in his backyard in dry ground. And he worked for 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50. Now, I don't know what his wife, how she quite responded to all this, you know. I mean, 50 years he's working on this boat in the backyard and there's no water anywhere. And, you know, she might have been a little discouraged, you know. Then after 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, 95 years, you're crazy. Everybody thinks you're crazy. You are a nutcase. He says, I know what God told me, and I'm going to be faithful to God. And in spite of what his wife thought, in spite of what everybody else thought, he just stayed with God and stayed in patience. And then after he built that ark, 100 years later, then the rain came and brought destruction, and there was a safe place for his wife. And then she was glad that he waited and obeyed God and did what he told him to do. Can you say amen? Amen. You haven't been waiting 100 years for the promise. It just seems that way. You know, I know that he was a man of patience. Can you imagine the patience that he had when the storm clouds are coming and it's really close and they're waiting for the two snails to get on the ark? Man, there's... Is that what it seems like? It seems like what you're believing God for is kind of coming at a snail's pace. Trust God. You know, God has the time for you. It's right on time. The earth waited for the promised Messiah. There were some that gave up. They didn't patiently wait anymore. They turned from God. They didn't believe it anymore. But he came right on time. It says, in the fullness of time, Jesus Christ was born, although they missed it. And then as Jesus entered on the earth, God had a timetable for everything that happened. He was 30 years old when he entered ministry. I mean, think, that's pretty old. For Jesus, the Son of God, to enter in his ministry, he was 30. And he waited patiently on the Lord. And that even as he entered his ministry, he knew God had everything in a timetable, everything that happened, everything would take place. He knew himself he was going to die. He knew this 3-year period of time, that's not very long. There was a time when they wanted to kill him. They were so offended at him. And he said, you know, my time hasn't come. He just walked right through them with the stones in their hand. They wanted to throw him off a cliff. It happened a couple times. And then came the time he says, you know, it's time. I'm going to give my life. And he tried to talk to him about the cross. They still, you know, didn't understand it. And then Jesus Christ died, and as we know now, that he resurrected from the dead because he walked in God's will to the end, even though there was some trial, you know, not my will, but your will be done. And he just walked it out. And because of that came this great, great blessing. He was lifted up, given the name above every other name, over every dominion, and here we are today because Jesus Christ, you know, walked out the plan of God patiently and never got ahead of the Father, but did his perfect will on earth, and here we are. You know, and the blessing that came to Abraham, and the blessing that came to Joseph, and the blessing that came to Noah. You know, when you walk in God's will and do God's way, there's always blessing in it. And now, You know, we're waiting on the promise, you know, that he's coming back. And there's people that aren't waiting very patiently. He's coming. Same way he came before, he's coming. He's coming back again. God's got a timetable. He's not going to be too soon. He's not going to be too late. He's coming back to earth again. And the reason that he's waiting, because of God's love, he's waiting patiently for the harvest, for the fruit to come forth, for people to know him. And so he patiently is waiting. But then there's going to come that time. It's done, and he's coming back again. If you're wise, you better be patient to the coming of the Lord, not get sidetracked. We're going to be held accountable. Do you remember when Lazarus was ill and Martha and Mary sent word to Jesus that their brother was really ill, and he said, come quickly, and Jesus got the word, but he didn't go. And he waited, you know, a couple days, and then word came that Lazarus had died, and he said to the disciples, you know, Lazarus has died, and so we better go now. We need to go. And so they got there, and Mary and Martha, you know, of course they're upset and they're crying. If only you'd have been here. And you know, they Jesus wept, and they said, oh, look how he loved him. It wasn't that Jesus didn't love him. You know, and so Jesus got there, quote, 4 days late. 4 days late and right on time. Say that with me. 4 days late and right on time. See, God's timetable is not your timetable. Oh, God, or, you know, he's just late. He's not doing this thing. God's not late. You're anxious. You're impatient. See, the Lord's wanting to do something greater than whatever you got planned. He wasn't just going to heal Lazarus. He was going to raise him from the dead for his glory, that everyone would know who he was. He had a greater plan. God's got a greater plan for your life than whatever you're designing and putting together. But we're impatient. We want to help God. We want to complain. Oh, Lord, I can't believe God didn't do that and didn't answer my prayer. Who said so? Who said your prayer's not answered? God just in his wisdom has not given it to you yet. He'll be right on time when it comes. Trust him. He knows. He's got the plan. He knows better than you how to make it happen. Can you say amen? Amen. So why should I wait? Number one, to receive God's clear directions for your life. God wants you to wait so you get the message, so you get some orders, so you find out what's going on. Because we're not mature enough to handle it yet. So in our own maturity, we're doing dumb things, making stupid decisions. And if God answered that prayer, man, it would be a mess. Thank God he didn't answer some of those prayers when I was a kid, new believer. So let's wait on that one a little bit. Number two, why should I wait? To keep in step with his timing. He's got a timing to make it happen. He doesn't want you to get ahead. He doesn't want you to get behind. You know, whether it's your marriage, whether it's ministry, whether it's, you know, occupation, whatever, your education, whatever it is. God's got right timing for all that to happen. And so he wants to make it happen in his way. I want to tell you, when we get out ahead of God, you get married when you're not supposed to get married. It can't even be the right person, but we get ahead. And in our immaturity, you're going to run through a lot of problems, and sometimes the marriage won't even last because it was the right person. But in your own immaturity, you entered into that relationship before God had his way to really make things work. Here, you hear what I'm saying? It's laying the foundation. I want to tell you a true story, and it's been, you know, a number of years now, so, you know, I think I've got liberty to say it, that, you know, people aren't even going to know what I'm talking about. The church was young then, and we had started our training center and had classes in the morning and training people for ministry and for missions. And there was a girl that was in the training center, and she wanted to be in missions work. And I mean, she had a lot of ability, you know, she had a good spirit, but, you know, she was young. She wasn't ready. And so she met these missionaries, actually, that were tied in with our church. And that they're, you know, in a foreign country, and so they got together, and they wanted her to come. And so I said, you know, she's not ready. There wasn't one pastor on staff. They all said the same thing. She's not ready. She is not ready to go into full-time ministry. And so we talked to her. you know, you're just not ready. You just need to wait on the Lord. But both these, this couple and this lady determined anyway, they're going to do it anyway. They weren't going to listen to the leadership here that they knew. And she went out and went into missions. Well, you know, didn't surprise us when things weren't working out. We told them ahead of time. And so, you know, she brought conflict, you know, in their family and in this close community with the work and the missions there. And then not only did she bring contention and problems in their ministry, then she left and went with another missions organization that was right there working in the same area and brought contention between them. And, you know, so what happened to her? You know, she became bitter and disillusioned and angry, and certainly wasn't fulfilled. It wasn't the happy experience she thought it was going to be. And she came back off in the missions field, and she was embarrassed, and she quit going to church here. And I, to my knowledge, I don't know if she's in church here. Why? Too soon. She wasn't ready. She didn't wait on God. She was not in step with His timing. Do you believe she was called to missions? Yeah. Do you believe God had something for her? Yeah. What happened? She wasn't ready. She wasn't mature enough yet. You don't give a kid the keys to the car when he's 10 years old. He's not ready. I heard on the news somewhere, you know, that some man, he'd been drinking, he let his daughter or somebody drive his truck. Do you remember that? Or car. And do you remember how old she was? Anybody? 14 years old. And what'd she do? Well, she crashed right through a store, you know. I mean, duh. Pretty stupid on his part. She wasn't ready to start driving. You know, well, that's what God does with us. It's not time yet. You know, why should I wait? To allow God the time to prepare you for His answer. He wants to bring maturity to you. He wants you to be able to handle it. He wants to promote you. He wants to give you that permission. He wants to bring increase. He wants you to be able to handle, you know, that increase in prosperity in your life. But He wants you to do it with maturity, not as a fool. So you can be a wise steward. And so God waits for you to be ready for it, whatever it might be. He's got an assignment, but he's got to bring maturity. He's got to bring character. You know. And so God wants to do something while we're waiting for the answer. He's trying to do something in us. He needs the time to bring that maturity and to prepare you for the foundation that he can put on you, this blessing. You may not think it, but, you know, promotion has some real temptations. All of a sudden, you know, we make it. If we're not careful, we can get an attitude, man. We're self-sufficient and start looking to ourselves as really being something and kind of lose our compassion toward other people and our touch with people that have needs around us. And you know what I'm saying? All the perks, we start coming our way and start taking advantage of all those perks. If you don't think that promotion has temptations, I want to remind you some people that went to jail last year that had everything here at the top. It was all that prosperity. They had no character. Let's put this up again on the screen, Chris. We showed this last week. You know, we said that, you know, God wants to show us His will. But this is a process. It's kind of step by step by step. He doesn't just give it to you. When you're a young Christian, you blow it. He knows what He's doing. So, you know, He makes us wait. And so what happens? You know, God has light and he shines some truth. So it's now knowing what God wants us to do, or how He wants us to obey, or knowing what His will is. He just gives us kind of the bloom of the rose, the bud. It's tight. We don't see it all. You just kind of get a glimpse of it, but He doesn't show us all, because if He showed us everything, we'd mess it all up trying to get there ahead of God, you know? And so He gives us a glimpse to encourage us, but He doesn't give it to us, and so we're on this plateau. And so, you know, we're kind of, you know, saying, well, God, you know, when's this going to happen and this and that? And God's saying, you know, when you're ready. And so He's dealing with our character, and He's dealing with our faith and with our trust and with our obedience, and that we walk in this light and that we get it. So what's happening is kind of like a period of patient adjustment on our time. We're having to be patient while God's adjusting us, getting ready to give us the promise. And then, you know, comes that time of our obedience and faith, and we yield to God. And then comes this, you know, faith comprehension, and then you know, there's this revelation, and we do it. And we're obedient to God, and we've got a right heart, and what's he do? He takes us to the next level. And it's kind of like, then, you know, we're saying, oh, God, what do you want me to do? And, you know, and he gives us kind of a glimpse of it and says, this is what I want you to do. And you know, we're not quite ready for that yet. So we kind of go through the same thing. You know, we're just kind of walking it out on the step. And if you don't, if you don't do that work in your heart, allow that work to happen in your heart for the obedience and the character and the maturity, you know, then you just stay there. It's kind of like you just keep going around the wilderness, you know. The Lord says, I got plenty of time. You know that feeling, don't you? And so, you know, we get it again through this patient adjustment, and maybe trials and maybe this stuff. We're saying, God, what are you trying to show me? And he says, well, here's what I've been trying to show you all the time. You know, when are you going to do it this my way now? You trust me. I want to bless you. I want to promote you. And then again, you know, we respond to the light that God gave, and we obey God and what he did. Then, you know, it kind of goes up the next. And that happens our whole life. And so God keeps developing this character, bringing us into the maturity, into the real, into the full stature of Jesus Christ. God wants to promote you. He wants to lift you up. But he's got to wait on the foundation to be strong. God needs time to mature and to prepare you. You know, to build your faith, to build your trust, to build your character, to give you wisdom, to handle whatever he wants to give to you, that you'll be a faithful steward with it. So, you know, why should I wait? Number four, because it allows God in time to sift your motives and reveal your true desires. Nothing more deceptive than the human heart. We may think that's why we're doing it, but that's not why we're doing it. That we have wrong motives, we have wrong desires. What do you want money for? Oh, a lot of stuff, man. God says, let's wait a while. What do you want the stuff for? For me. God says, well, I want to give you stuff for you, but I want you to give stuff to other people when you get it. I want your stuff to belong to me, that, you know, you just become the manager of my stuff. It all belongs to me. If you have a right motive and a right heart, things will start happening in your life. But, you know, if you continue to walk in this greed and lust, you know, it's going to turn sour. Amen. It got quiet in here. Am I telling you the truth or not? So God wants to know our motives. And sometimes we don't know our own motives. We don't even know our own desires. You know, in Psalm 37, this is a powerful verse. You know, when I was a young man, these verses were, I mean, really, they really directed my ways. And that it says, trust in the Lord and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Meaning, you know, trust is another word for faith. Have faith in me. I'll give you your dwelling place. You know, you'll be secure. Yeah, I'll take care of your needs. I'll feed you. You know, I'm going to answer your prayers. You know, that if you just put your trust in me and have faith in me. And then it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. You know, so delight has to do with our heart. Delighting in him, that he'll give us the desires of our heart. And I found out just when I was young that what were my desires, he said, that's what you think is your desire. But I really know what your true desire is. That's not what's going to make you happy. That's not what's going to bring fulfillment to you. That's not what is going to do it in your life. He says, well, what do you mean, Lord? He says, I already know. See, I've called you to be a pastor. No, that's not the delight of my heart. You know, that's not my desire. That's not what's going to make me happy. That sounds like the worst possible thing that could ever happen in my life. You know, but God knew, didn't he? And even though I didn't know then, I wasn't ready for it, obviously. But if you delight yourself in the Lord and continue to seek him, he says, I'll give you the desires of your heart. And you wait on him. God wants to give you what you really do desire. Sometimes you don't even know yourself. God says, you know, I really like vanilla. God says, no, you don't. You really like chocolate. No, I like vanilla. God says, you don't know what you're talking about. You may think you like vanilla now, but you're going to time when you don't like vanilla at all, and you're going to like chocolate. That's what you really want. That's your deep heart. You know, I mean, whatever it is in your life, you got to trust God. He knows what you're really desiring and what's going to bring fulfillment to you. Can you say amen? Have you ever noticed there were things in your life that you didn't have a taste for, you couldn't stand it, and then later on you really ended up liking it? When you were a kid, it was like, you know? Now you're, man, I love that. You know, salad was not my favorite meal when I was a kid. You know, I like to eat salads. Not all the time, but you can see. But I, you know. So it's like, you God, here's what I want. You know, I want to get married. And here's the plan. I want a wife, you know, and I want her to be a cross between St. Teresa and Marilyn Monroe. I'm not asking for much, God. That's what I want. And God says, caramba, what am I going to do with you? You're not ready for a wife. You know, if you trust me, I have a wife prepared for you before the foundation of the world, and she is perfect in every way. And if you will trust me, I'll bring the person to you that's going to bring fulfillment and happiness and make your life complete. Do you believe that? Now wait patiently on the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart, whatever it is. Do you trust God that He wants to give you the desires of your heart, and He knows better than you what you're really looking for? I know that. And then what's the next verse? It says, commit your ways unto Him, trust it also in Him, and He'll bring it to pass. Commit. What's it mean? Surrender. All right, I give up my dream. I want it. I want yours. I'm willing to let go. These plans and schemes and what I think I want, I let go. I commit. I surrender. I give it all to you. I give you all the pieces of this puzzle. And you take this mess and make something beautiful with it. Every area, I give it to you. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He'll bring it to pass. And you know what? The next thing it says? It says, wait patiently on the Lord. Wait. I'll wait. Be patient. I'll bring it. Trust me. Have faith in me. I love you. I want to do these things. I'll give you the desires of your heart. But begin to delight in me. Put me first, not this stuff. And when this stuff's not first, and I am, seek ye first the kingdom of God and my righteousness, all these other things will be added. I'll put things in place. I'll give you the desires of your heart. But you're going to have to commit it to me. And trust me, I'll bring it to pass. D, the last thing is, don't quit. No matter what. Don't quit. Wait. Wait it out. Wait it out. Don't you let anything sidetrack you. Don't you give in to wrong choices, no matter how sweet it may seem. Don't do it. Don't you give in to Satan's temptations. Don't you take the fast road. Don't you give in to every promise of immediate gratification, because it's going to turn sour. Don't you give in to pressure from people or from high pressure sale, you know. I mean, that's what runs it. Now you gotta have it today. This is just what you need. This is just what you've been looking for. This is the best, the fastest, the shiniest. This is the super. You won't need another one the rest of your life if you get this. But you gotta get it today, because there's no more after today. You gotta buy it now, or it's gone. Yeah, they only have 10 million more of them back there. Listen, whatever it is, isn't that how they sell cars? I mean, you know, your car is pretty nice, you know. And I mean, it's got a lot of miles on it, though, man. You got 20,000 miles on it. And you need this one. You know, look, this has all this new stuff on it. Look at this. This is a new color. They didn't have that color when you bought yours. Wow, that is a cool color. Yeah, I need one of those. Yeah, isn't that true? Isn't that the way it works? Come on. Don't you give in. Don't quit. You wait it out. Don't you rationalize it. Don't become impatient. You know, trust Him. Stand in faith. You wait for God's perfect plan and will. Do not give in. You need to pass the test. And when you pass the test of being patient and waiting for God, then He'll bring the blessing. And the blessing will be the best. It'll be God's best. It'll be God's best. It won't be compromised. It'll be God's best for your life, where you fit, where it brings joy and satisfaction and fulfillment. That's what God wants for you. God's not trying to hold you back. God's not trying to keep something from you. God's not punishing you. He's not mad at you. God is trying to bring you into that place where you're going to find fulfillment He's trying to bring you to that place where there's joy. He's trying to bring you onto that path, not this wide road all over the place. Everything's out of control, into that narrow place where you're following the Lord in obedience, listening to Him on a day-by-day, moment-by-moment basis, where you're hearing His voice and being led. That's the way to peace. That's the way to fulfillment. That's the way to prosperity. And it'll last. It won't be temporary and then gone. It's going to continue with a strength, with a solidity, with a fullness. I want to read a couple of scriptures and I'll close. And in Psalm 27:13, I love this verse. David said, "I would have fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living." Not heaven. I would have given up. I wouldn't have been able to wait it out. I would have fainted. Except I believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. You messed it up. You made some mistakes. You had some loss. You know, all of a sudden things are coming back. Some consequences, the wrong decisions. Wait on the Lord. You need to believe God. He says, "I would have given up except I believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living." He'll redeem it. He'll turn it around. You do it God's way. That's who He is. He's a God of restoration. And He's going to do something. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, "And He makes everything